Welcome to The Rescue Doors, hosted by Don Harmon. What started out as a few people pooling money to buy a single horse off of a feedlot turned into a large group of people to save slaughter-bound horses. In 2005, Bonnie Hammond founded SAFE, that is, Save a Forgotten Equine. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi there, how are you?
Doing good, yourself?
Doing great. We have a beautiful day out here in Redmond, Washington, and the horses are all heading out to their paddocks for the morning, and everybody looks happy, and couldn't be more lovely here today.
And old man Winter's coming down the trail.
Yes, it is. I hear everything changes tomorrow, so we're supposed to appreciate it while we can. They say that all the time, though, in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, it
you
is.
You just never really know what to expect.
Yeah. Do you remember saving that single horse?
I do. Yeah, I do. I mean, it was quite a long time ago, and we have made a significant change in our rescue model since those days when we were saving horses from the feedlot. We did that as a group for about 6, maybe 8 months or so, and we started seeing some problems with rescuing from the feedlot. Most significantly, that the people who buy horses and send them to the kill pen and so forth, it doesn't really take very long for them to realize what kind of a profit that they can make off the rescue world, and the prices start to go up and the ethics and morals start to go down. So we made a decision after doing it for a period of time that maybe a better solution would be to try to stop horses from getting into the slaughter pipeline to begin with. So when we officially formed SAFE, that was the decision that we made to pull away from the feedlot and auction house rescue and start our own organization in which we would provide horses with veterinary care. Eventually we expanded that to training. We would do careful, considered adoption, and we would follow up with our horses once they'd been placed to make sure that they were continuing to thrive in their new homes.
Yeah.
So we kind of went from a quantity model to a quality model, and that's what we're practicing today.
Just kind of shortcutted the whole process there. That was a good move.
I really think so, yeah.
About a horse named Anakin, why did you take him in? I mean, I know that your gates are full. What was so special about him?
Well, you know, we really didn't know how special he was until we met him in person. But we were contacted by a woman a couple hours south of where we are, and she said that she had picked up a horse and intended to rescue and rehab him herself, but the horse was so thin that he had laid down on the ground, and she'd actually had to call an animal rescue team out to set up a tripod and stand him back up on his feet. He was that weak. And actually, while we were discussing whether or not we had room to take in this horse, the same thing happened again. He laid down on the cold, wet ground, and he couldn't get back up because he was so weak. Fortunately, we did have a place for him, and we were able to take him in. So he was transported up here to our area, and I remember when this horse stepped off the trailer, he was literally the thinnest horse I'd ever seen. And this was after having done rescue for 10 years. He was so thin that you could not only see the normal signs of starvation, which are you know, the ribs, the hips, the backbone, the shoulders of the horse. You could actually see the bones up inside his haunches. You could see his hips and his tibia. It was incredible. This horse was so thin, but he had this look in his eyes that just didn't look like he was ready to give up on life. He still had a sparkle in his eye. He is still engaged with us and was curious and interested, and really seemed determined to keep on trying. And that was the first moment we realized that this horse was exceptional. We took him straight to our triage vet hospital, where we take most of our new intakes, and bundled him up in blankets and started him on a refeeding diet, which is where you feed soaked hay in very small amounts every hour, every 2 hours, continuously throughout the day. Because when a horse has been starved to the point that Anakin was starved, you can't just throw a whole bunch of food at them. They will colic and they will die. So they have to be fed very carefully. But a couple of days after Anakin arrived, he did once again feel comfortable enough to try lying down in his stall, and again he couldn't get back up. And I remember that day thinking that it was over, that there was no way that he was going to be able to survive. And but we were still, you know, attempting to get him back on his feet, but this time he was in a stall. I remember sitting with him. He was lying in the middle of the stall, kind of up on his chest bone, and he had a little bowl of hay in front of him and one of his little bumper caps on his head, and he's just sitting there eating the hay, just kind of calm and happy as can be, despite, you know, all the worry and fear going on around him. And I was sitting with him, and there was a point at which he stopped eating, and he lifted up his head, and he looked me straight in the eye, and he held my gaze for almost 30 seconds. And I felt that he was telling me something, and what he was telling me was, "Don't give up on me." He was saying, "I'm okay. I can handle this. Don't give up on me." And he couldn't have made it any more clear if he had, you know, been able to speak in English. So that day we were able to have a couple crews from local fire stations come over, and they were able to lift him back up to his feet. And we immediately transported him over to Pilchuck Veterinary Hospital, which is the big vet hospital in our area. And he was put into a stall that actually had a hitch in the ceiling of the stall, so that he could lay down. And when he needed to get back up, they would put a sling around him, and they would be able to lift him back up to his feet. Now, that's kind of unusual for a horse to be able to mentally deal with machinery and people bustling around and so forth. And we thought it was, you know, a little bit odd that Anakin was so comfortable about this. And then we discovered who he was. One of our volunteers did some research and was able to track down Anakin's origins. And it turned out that Anakin had been a research horse at the University of California in Paloma, where they had a research equine research center, where they did kinesiology tests and balance tests and impact tests, and they ran horses on a treadmill. They did high altitude studies. They did all kinds of studies that have benefited sports medicine knowledge. And Anakin was one of their horses. We actually found a picture of him that had been published in a scientific journal, and it's a picture of him, and he's jumping over a jump. He's got what looks like a jetpack on his back. He's got little reflectors on each of his joints, and he's jumping over this old jump onto an impact pad, so they could see how his joints were working and his musculature and so forth. So I contacted the director of the Equine Research Center at the university, and we were able to confirm beyond the shadow of a doubt that this was the same horse. And it really explained a lot about why he was so comfortable in these sort of unusual handling situations. And the director told us that he had been everybody's favorite horse to work with. The students really loved working with him because he was so smart and so willing. And that he had been part of the program for about 10 years until they ran out of funding and they had to shut down for a period of time. And we never completely pieced together the story of how this horse went from being a research horse in California to starving in a field in southwestern Washington. But as often happens with horses, I think they get passed around from one person to the next. Maybe they get injured. They can't do, the job that they were intended to do, and things just get worse and worse and worse. And we did track down several of his former owners, but no one was ever, obviously, no one was ever willing to admit that
responsible.
Yeah, no one would take responsibility for this horrible thing. There was a lot of finger pointing, and we did have Grays County Animal Control involved, but at that point they weren't able to, get any justice for what had happened to him. So we just have to focus on moving forward with him. And so Anakin was extremely well cared for, and Safe was really fortunate that we got some media coverage about Anakin's story, and people were so moved by his spirit and what they saw that we had a lot of people making donations specifically for Anakin's care. And because of that kindness and that outpouring of concern, we were able to afford to have this horse in a stall at Pilchuck Vet Hospital, where every single day he would lay down to have a nap, and every single day the technicians had to come in and
hoist him up,
sling on him, and hoist him back up to his feet. And I tell you, there was a point where this had been going on for about 3 weeks, and I really started to question whether we'd made the right decision. Whether, even though Anakin had been, so clear about wanting a chance, maybe it was just too much to expect that the starvation he'd been through, that he could recover from it. But about 3 weeks into the process, when we were like, well, let's give him another couple days and see what happens, he stood up on his own. And I remember when the vet called, he left me this message saying, I got great news. Anakin got up on his own. Oh my gosh, we were so happy. It was just the happiest day. And we were so proud of him. And so he spent another couple of days in the hospital, and then he was able to come home to our farm. And his horse just touched so many people's lives. You know, he had such a will to live and survive, and always had just the best attitude. And you know, so we nursed him through. Initially the vets didn't want him. They wanted him to stay in a stall, to have like occasional hand walks, but we wanted to conserve as many calories as possible to getting his weight back up to where it was supposed to be. And then we reached the point where he was allowed to go out in his paddock, and he had a little run attached to his stall, and he came out and he started doing this sort of funny half bucking happy dance thing, and it was just so adorable. And then from there, he was able to finally be turned out in a small pasture. And, every step of the way, he just celebrated his victories. And I don't know, he was just such an endearing boy and so, so inspirational. It was like nothing I'd ever experienced before going through this with this horse. And He continued to recover, and then he has since been adopted. He has a home not too far from here, and he lives in a beautiful field with a couple other horses who are also adopted from Safe, and his adopter absolutely adores him, and we even go down and visit him every so often just because. You know, he's an old friend, so his story ended very happily, but it was quite an experience.
What a story. What a horse. Can I go back just a little bit? I'm very curious as to those early sessions with the vet. Were they finding things other than just the starvation? I mean, I'm wondering about wormy and sand and just general, rain rot and sores.
Right.
And
well, you know, the thing that we were most concerned about with the significance of this weight loss was organ failure. You know, you look at the amount of the amount of neglect that this horse had. Had survived, and you have to wonder, are his kidneys okay? Is his liver okay? And that was going to be another, indication as to whether or not he could be saved. But fortunately, he was not suffering any kind of organ failure. He did have some rain rot. He had a lot of sores and so forth. And honestly, I think it was because his bones were just so close to the surface. There was nothing to pad him or protect him. And his feet hadn't been done. There's some common things we see with these horses who have been neglected. Long toes that, make it painful to walk.
Curl up on the end.
He said, yeah, he wasn't quite that bad, but he still, he still wasn't, that hadn't been taken care of in quite some time. And his teeth had been neglected, and so, but there's a point, you have to, because the horses are lightly sedated when their teeth are done, you can't do that to a horse in Anakin's condition safely. So we did have to wait until he was stronger before we could take care of his teeth. But
you did start out with a long list of to-dos, huh?
Yes, we did. And even when he got back from the hospital, he still required nearly around-the-clock care. So I actually lived on the property at that point, and so I would get up at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and go down and feed him his first meal, and then the barn staff would feed him during the day, and then I'd go back down at 11, midnight, feed him his last meal, and you know, he had medications that he was taking and so forth. So he really required a lot of care from my staff and our volunteers. But everybody just loved him so much that we were happy to do it. And, you know, he always showed us his appreciation. And so it was worth it.
He evidently, it sounds like, that he evidently was somehow able to keep his mind somewhat together, you know, all things considered, that he didn't just shut down and, you know, go away.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I've dealt with a lot of horses through SAFE, and the one thing about horses in general that just blows me away, just impresses me so much, is how they can hold it together in the face of you know, terrible, terrible neglect, and how they always seem to greet the next person who comes along with an open mind, like, well, you know, they've been mistreated so badly by other humans that then they meet us and they just seem to know, like, that we're here to help them. And they're always really willing to let us do that. And sometimes I can't even believe it. Because as a species, you know, if we've done some terrible, terrible things to animals, and the way these horses are just, they're so forgiving, and they give us the opportunity to, you know, kind of make it up to them that the people who were supposed to be taking care of them really let them down, but they know that we're here to make up for that and to help, and they always seem to allow us to do that.
Well,
so I think it's pretty incredible.
That day that he gave you a 30-second look is really the answer. To my question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All said and done right then and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bonnie, the SAFE Ranch is a huge organization, sun up to sun down and often well into the night. Why do you do it?
Because I think the horses deserve it. I think the horses need it. There's a huge need for horse rescue in this area. Not a lot of people out there doing it anymore. But the reward is seeing them change, and seeing them, you know, they start out and they're so unhappy and ill and afraid and thin, and you know, we get to turn them back into the beautiful creatures that they're supposed to be, and that's the reward right there. That's what we all do together. And you know, when you see a horse that's been so close to dying, and you see that same horse, you know, trot out into a field and drop down and roll and then jump up and buck and run, and you know, it just doesn't take that much to make horses happy. They're such content, peaceful animals, and they really only ask for a few things. You know, they want to have a routine that involves being fed every single day several times, and they want to have, you know, a little bit of room to move around, and they want to have friends around them, other horses that they can interact with, and that's really all they ask for. And so being able to give them those things when they haven't had them in the past is super rewarding, and it keeps us all going.
Yeah. I was about to ask you if there was any last thought you'd like to leave us with, but you've pretty well answered that.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Bonnie, thank you. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate you giving us your time and your energy.
Oh, well, thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to share these stories.
Yeah. If you have any questions, thoughts to share, or just want to say thanks to Bonnie for what her and her staff are doing, the website is safehorses.org. A good day is any day a horseback. Good day.